What is up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Got another great one for you today. As training camp is just over 1 week out, next Tuesday, 8 days away. Plenty of roster questions for this team. Not up top, but down below. So we're going to go over those and then some big questions facing the NBA and specifically the Warriors this season. That's all coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on the Golden State Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Got another great one for you today, as I said. So what we're going to do today is we're going to go over some roster questions facing the Golden State Warriors this year. There are 14 guaranteed contracts on this team, a couple of hopefuls as well, and one guy who is a free agent, who there's been a little bit of news about, not a lot. I don't imagine he'll be a Warrior, but we'll get to him as well. The Athletic, the great Athletic. I always feel weird plugging someone else or some other site on this podcast, because, like, is that a podcast no-no? Like, we only gas ourselves up, no one else. We only do good work, no one else does. Am I supposed to do that? Let me know. @CTH415 on Twitter. But The Athletic does great work, and Anthony Slater, the great Warriors reporter, came out with an article, basically questions for each of the 14 guaranteed contracts on this team, about each player that has a guaranteed contract on this team. So we're going to go over half of them today, probably the other half on Wednesday or Thursday or whenever. But I thought it was a good exercise because I was going to do a little roster review anyways, and I think this added a little something to it. Shout out Anthony Slater and The Athletic. And then also The Ringer came out with an article about the 34 questions facing the NBA. It's kind of funny, but as you can guess, there were a couple Warriors questions on there, so we'll get to those also. All that is coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles D. Hamilton. Got the list coming up right here. 14 guaranteed contracts for the Warriors. Questions regarding all of them. I'm going to start with three players. Well, I'll start with one player who's not even on the roster, not even invited to training camp, because there's been a little bit of news about him. And I've mentioned where I stand with him personally. But it's Jamal Crawford. And apparently news came out that he turned down a contract with the Warriors for money. He wanted more money, I guess. And you know what? Good for you. Get your money. I have no problem with it. But I also think that Jamal Crawford is a minimum salary player at this point. Warriors do have an open roster spot. If they change their mind, they can bring him in. Or if Jamal Crawford changes his mind, because they don't have any other money to offer him at this point. It's only veteran minimums now. But I've mentioned he's a good player. He's not what he used to be. He could potentially help, blah, blah, blah. But if he becomes a Warrior and his minutes come at the expense of, say, Quinn Cook's minutes, a guy who I'm high on, a guy who's younger, more efficient, better shooter at this point, then I'm not really interested. Nothing against Jamal Crawford, and I wouldn't be mad if he is on the Warriors either. But that was just some news that came out. And with that 15th roster spot still open, it's something we're going to continue to talk about as long as it's still a possibility, because it remains a possibility. So there's that. Nothing big there. Couple players who weren't mentioned in Anthony Slater's article, the 14 questions, because they're not guaranteed roster spots, they're not guaranteed contracts, was Marcus Derrickson, who signed to an Exhibit 10, which basically means he's most likely going to be playing for Santa Cruz. The Exhibit 10, as I've mentioned before, is basically a way to keep a player's rights for your G League team, which I think is great. I'm very intrigued by Marcus Derrickson. We'll see what happens. Maybe he ends up being a solid main roster addition at some point in the next 2 years. Maybe not, but I'm intrigued, and I'm glad that they're able to hang on to him. And then Daniel House is the other one. Daniel House played, I think, 23 games last year, had some solid moments, not incredible. You know, if he had that good a play, he'd be on someone's roster right now, but he's not. Non-guaranteed training camp roster or training camp contract for him. He'll definitely have to wow to get a roster spot. More than likely, probably he'll end up getting a two-way contract with the Warriors. But who knows? If he comes in, is knocking down threes and playing good defense, you know, he'll have to force their hand. He'll have to force the team's hand, and he might end up doing it, but probably not. I would love to have him on a two-way, though, and who knows, maybe eventually on the main roster, just like Quinn Cook did last year. So that should be a good segue into Quinn Cook, but I'm going to switch it up and go with Pat McCaw, because I do think that Pat McCaw and Daniel House are kind of connected. As soon as Pat McCaw signs his contract, I think that connection kind of dies, and it most likely will end up happening. But Pat McCaw, the question with him is, are you going to be on the roster? And Anthony Slater said basically, yeah, he will. As soon as he signs, it's fine. He's just taking his time and taking a little longer than we expected. I think longer than the Warriors might have expected as well. But he's playing it out till the last second, and I don't blame him, because there could be a team that loses a wing or something, loses a player, and can pay Pat McCaw more. And the other thing is, it's not as if he's going to get $10 million a year. Pat McCaw, his qualifying offer, I think, is $1.74 million. So let's say a team loses a wing, and they can afford to pay Pat $3 million this year. And maybe they even give him 2 years and a player option on the second year, something like that. He would gladly take that, and I don't blame him. But I don't think that is going to happen. I think he's just using the time that he has. Why not? But I do think Pat will be on the roster. And the reason why I think him and Daniel House are connected is because if Pat ends up leaving, I think that roster spot is basically there for Daniel House to seize. Or if Pat comes in and is just has regressed even more, that could be Daniel House's spot. But the thing is, these are all hypotheticals, and I actually expect Pat to be signed, be in, and actually play well. I mean, yeah, he couldn't knock down threes last year, but he's still a serviceable player. He can still defend. He still does other things well. He's still incredibly young and athletic, which this team needs. So if he can start knocking down threes, then great. But if not, I value threes incredibly, as we should, as everyone should. They're the most valuable shot in the game, literally, because they count for 3 points. But the idea that because he, shot below 30% last year from three, that he can't help the team is crazy. He does other things well also. So there's Pat McCaw. I do think he'll be on the roster. I do think he'll actually contribute. There's minutes for him, no question. So let's go with a guy that maybe will be competing with Pat for minutes. I do think there's enough minutes to go around, but Jacob Evans, the rookie first-round pick, 28th overall. And the question Slater had for him is, was your shooting in summer league a mini slump or cause for concern? And Slater basically said this, and I agree. That's where I kind of stand also, is that it's too small of a sample size, but at the same time, it's all we have to go off of. So why can't we talk about it? Why can't we be nervous about it? Or why can't we say it's nothing? You know, we're allowed to have opinions about this stuff. We're supposed to. Cause for concern is probably a little strong, but I wouldn't have mind seeing him knock down more threes, you know? But he's in kind of the same boat as Pat McCaw as far as I'm concerned. I think he's a solid defender, which on this team is still incredibly important. And I think he can do a lot of things that still help a team win. He's a winning basketball player as far as I'm concerned. He hit, 37-38% from three in college. And I know the difference between the college line and the NBA three-point line is a tough adjustment. It's one of those things that I actually hate about college basketball. Why is the three-point line shorter in college than it is in the NBA? It just doesn't make sense to me. But that's for another day in another podcast. Jacob Evans, cause for concern, maybe a little bit, but I mean, not after 18 three-point shots in summer league. So we'll see. But again, same thing. I do think he'll end up having a spot and having a role with this team because it's there for him. You know, we'll get to the big five and the seven vets next podcast, but, you know, Andre, Sean, even KD, Clay, all of them, even the young vets that they have, quote unquote, like KD, Steph, Sean, or KD, Steph, Draymond, Clay. Yes, they're younger, but they're also getting older. Steph's 30, coming off multiple injuries last year. Clay, you know, he, as tough as he is, we're going to need you to take a couple nights off. Same thing with Draymond, same thing with KD, and then Sean and Andre, obviously. So there's going to be minutes for him to be had for Jacob Evans and Pat McCaw. Let's move on to Damian Jones. If you guys have been listening, you know that I'm kind of high on Damian Jones. I do think that he has a ton of potential. I do think he'll be an NBA center, and that was the question that was posed. Damian Jones, are you an NBA center? Can you prove that? And I do think he can be, at the very least, a rotational player. He can, at the very least, I think, fill that JaVale McGee role athletically, no problem. The guy just as good. Probably, here's one thing that gets lost with JaVale, and I love JaVale, but because of his vert and because of his dunking ability, we say he's a great athlete. And he is a good athlete, but as far as some of the other things, not so much. You know, being able to move laterally and footwork and things like that. Damian Jones is a better athlete, probably as good as a leaper, a good of a leaper as well. And so he can catch lobs. The one glimpse we got was the OKC game last year where he put up double digits, played great. I do think he's an NBA center. But something Slater brought up, and it's also just fact, is he only played a 174 minutes over the last 2 years, at least in the NBA. He's played a ton of G League games. But 174 minutes over the last 2 years. And if you break that down, 174 minutes is like six games for a regular starter in the NBA. So not only do I think he can do it, I think he will. But also one thing I think we should look for in the beginning of the year is probably a lot of minutes in these first 2 weeks for him because of the fact that the trigger date for his player option is October 31st, I believe, Halloween. So I think the Warriors, he might even start initially just to give the Warriors, give Bob Myers, Steve Kerr, give them all a glimpse at what they think Damian Jones can become before they commit to his fourth-year option, which I think is to something around $3 million. So it's not a lot of money, but if you're going to commit to that in the situation the Warriors are going to be in with money and the luxury tax, you want the best, I don't know, as much info, as much game time as you can get. So I do think we'll see a lot of them early in the year, as long as he can stay healthy also. He has managed to get nicked up here and there, which isn't great. But I do think he is definitely a contributor, especially on this team when you put him out there with four other All-Stars. So that's where I'm at with Damian Jones. And as I've said, and you've probably noticed, big fan of Damian Jones, I do think he'll be able to contribute and be an NBA center and get his option picked up and be with the Warriors again next year. Moving on. Another center. Kevon Looney. I like Kevon. I love the fact that they, not just that Kevon has proven to be a contributor, a solid player, not just because it helps the Warriors to have as many good players as possible, but a team like the Warriors needs to hit on their draft picks. Because it really is one of the only ways that they're able to add people, to add quality players, because of their luxury tax situation in the CBA. I think they lose their mid-level after this year, so they won't even be able to use that. It'll be all minimum contracts and potentially trades to bring in other players. So Kevon Looney being able to contribute, be a good player, be part of this team last year and then this year coming up is huge for the Warriors. And when I say hit on draft picks, it doesn't mean become a superstar. Look, if you can find a superstar at pick 28, 30, wherever they're picking at, that's incredible. And you need that. You'll take it. Be ecstatic with it. But just you have to get something out of your draft picks, especially first rounders. And so for Kevon Looney to become a contributor last year and then contribute even more this year is huge for the Warriors and huge for Kevon and his future in the NBA. So the question with Kevon was, is there more offense to your game, more scoring to your game? Again, what he brought is already, not already good enough, but it's already serviceable. He's already a contributor. Can you contribute more? And as much as I hate the gym workout videos, there was a workout video with him and KD going at it. And Kevon was knocking down some jumpers. It was your standard gym, well, maybe a little more than your standard gym workout video, because it was Kevin Durant and Kevon Looney, you know, banging on the post, playing hard, more than your standard workout gym video, because it wasn't a 5'9 trainer that he was going against. But again, will that translate? I don't know. The craziest part is that even the worst NBA players are knocking down shots in an open gym. But this was a little more than that again, so we'll see. But again, he, even without adding more to his game, scoring, etc., he's still a contributor, still a good part of this team. And I guess he's the leading man to start at center until Boogie comes back. Because we all know how much Steve Kerr loves him. Me personally, I would start Damian Jones just in the beginning, like I said, just to get as much tape, game tape on him, to see what he can do before you make that decision. But as far as playing the best, most reliable player, it would be Kevon Looney. So more offense to your game, we'll see. If not, still a contributor, still fine. Next, let's go with Quinn Cook. Quinn Cook. Another guy you guys know I'm high on. And I mentioned it earlier. It's part of why I would more or less pass on Jamal Crawford. But Quinn Cook, the question for him is, can you shoot like late last season? So last season, when he was getting random spot minutes, you know, he would make a play here or there, and it was great and fun, whatever. Last year, when Steph went down and Quinn had to come in and start for him, he was playing lights out, you know, 30-point games, knocking down shots everywhere. The guy is a scorer, and that's part of why, again, not to keep coming back and like sound like I'm bashing Jamal Crawford, but part of why I want Quinn Cook to get these minutes. I want to see what he can do with a bigger role on this team. And we're going to get to see that. His defense may limit his minutes in the playoffs because he's a defensive liability, but oh well. In the regular season, the guy can still contribute. I'm ready to see him come off the bench. He shot 44% from three last season. Is that something he can continue? Can he maintain that? And if not, can he come close to that? I mean, 40% would be great, especially for a team that had such trouble making threes off the bench last year. But if he does maintain that 44%, that'll be huge for the Warriors. And if he can do that, then maybe you overlook his defensive liability even in the playoffs if a guy's shooting 44% from three. So that's where I'm at with Quinn. You guys already know I'm a big fan of Quinn Cook, and I do think he's going to contribute and be a major contributor on this team next year. Probably leading scorer off the bench. I wouldn't be surprised if he averages double digits. And just on a side note, really intrigued to see that second unit when Boogie comes back, and it's like Boogie, Clay, Quinn, probably Draymond, and I don't know, Andre or Sean or whoever. But I think this bench unit is going to have a lot more firepower than it's had in recent years. And speaking of firepower, potential firepower at least, Jonas Jerebko, a guy who they did not think they were going to be able to get because he was under contract with Utah. It wasn't like they came into the off-season thing, where we got to go get Jarebko. He's out there for us. So they capitalized on a situation just like they did with Boogie. It was there for him to take. They did it. Good for them. They got a solid player, in my opinion. Shot 41% from three last year, which, again, like I mentioned with Quinn Cook, the Warriors need. And the question for him was, can you shred the Omri Caspi comparisons? Which is kind of unfair, and Slater mentioned that as well. That it is an unfair comparison. Both similar, 6'10", 225, foreigners who can shoot the three and are expected to come in and knock down the three. Skilled players, basically. And the Caspi comparisons are unfair because, they're just unfair. Well, let's wait till we actually see him play. But that's what happens in not just today's NBA, today's sports world. We have to make comparisons. So, a little unfair that I think I've said 10 times. But I do expect him to come in and fit in well and jack up every three that he gets. And that's how he can shed that comparison, too, is to shoot every single opportunity he gets. Every single somewhat open look from three, put it up. And even shed it more, knock him down. I am intrigued by Jonas Jerebko as well because of his shooting ability. And I've mentioned it before. He's the, I guess you could throw Omri in there, but Omri didn't really work out. He's potentially the best shooting stretch four they've had, and a legit stretch four. And I know Draymond shoots threes, but in my mind, a stretch four is someone who not only takes threes, but makes them. Where Draymond, he'll take them, but he's not hitting them at a very high clip lately. You know, he had 1 year at, I think, 39%, which was incredible. But it dipped big time. Now, if Jarebko can come in and knock down threes off the bench at a 41% clip, again, another guy that would be huge for the Warriors, not just during the regular season, because if you can actually knock down threes at such a high percentage, that allows the team to kind of overlook some of your other deficiencies, which would be a little defense. You know, not the biggest guy, not the most athletic, but skilled. And the last one for today, and I saved him for last because I do think his future is the brightest with this team, Jordan Bell. Jordan Bell. He's a trip. I think we all like Jordan Bell, and he became a Bay Area legend, especially with his performance at the parade. The Henny Man. Anybody can get it. The question with him, though, is can you take the leap? And basically saying he played well last year. He was a major contributor last year. But there were times where his youth and immaturity kind of showed. And can you take the leap? Have you learned the life of an NBA player in that you know, there's certain things you need to do on your off days? Slater mentions this. And by the way, you guys, go subscribe to The Athletic. Go read these articles because they're incredible. But Bell's graduation to the next level is dependent on his season two growth in the finer areas of the game. Assignment awareness, off-day professionalism, offensive comfort as the role man, maybe an occasional David West-like 12-footer. I agree with all that. But some of the stuff we don't really see is, you know, the off-day professionalism. There are rumors, and he even mentioned it, like he doesn't eat on game days, and I understand that's like a nervous thing, but you can't do that. I need you to eat something, man. assignment awareness, that is hopefully something that will get better just because he's playing more and has more experience with the Warriors and their defensive system. Offensive comfort is the role man. That is another one where there were times where he would be hesitant to go up. I think we saw in summer league and later in the year that he was shedding that a little more confidence. And then occasional David West-like 12-footer. We saw it late in the year that he started knocking down, you know, a little 12-footer in the playoffs, same thing. And then in summer league, he wasn't afraid to put up shots either, and he was hitting them. So I expect big things from him. And I think the thing is with him is, which also makes the Nick Young full mid-level look even worse, is he's going to Jordan Bell is going to be a restricted free agent after this year because they weren't able to use any of their mid-level exception to guarantee a third year for him. So in the CBA, for a second-round pick, you can give him 3 years if you guarantee the whole thing using some of your mid-level exception or some of your cap space, which the Warriors didn't do because they gave the full mid-level to Swaggy P. Random cap minutia. Doesn't really matter. But I expect good things out of Jordan Bell, and then they're going to have to figure out how to keep him next year also. And we'll probably get into this more much later down the line because the season hasn't even started yet. But I think they're going to have to look at certain money relocation, so to speak, where when guys like KD, Draymond, and Clay are all looking at big paydays, guys on the fringes might have to go, or at least some of the guys making money on the fringes are going to have to go, so then that money can be spent on someone else. So I'm sure you guys can break that down yourselves, kind of figure out what I'm saying. But we'll get to that at another later date. So that's the breakdown of the bottom seven, I guess you could say, of the 14 guaranteed contracts on this team. And maybe I was too optimistic on all of them. Maybe I was too pessimistic on all of them. I don't know. Let me know. Hit me up at CTH415. What do you guys think? Do you agree with any of this? Are you worried about any of these guys? Jacob Evans, Pat McCaw, am I too optimistic that they'll be able to contribute? Holler at me. Next one, we'll do the top seven players for the Warriors. I'm sure you can figure out who those are. But there's that. I think this team's more stacked than they've been in the last, well, definitely last year because a couple of their players didn't even work out. But in the last 2 years, I think this team is a little more stacked, a little more evenly distributed as well. One thing that came up also with guys like Bell and Damian Jones and Kevon Looney was that the Warriors were planning on bringing in more wings, and they didn't really do that. The only other wing they brought in was Jacob Evans. But here's my thing. Yes, they were short on wings last year, but if Nick Young and Omri Caspi actually worked out, they wouldn't have been. So it wasn't just an oversight on their part. They didn't not bring in any wings. You know, not only that, Pat McCaw got hurt. Andre Iguodala got hurt. So to an extent, yes, they were short on wings, but to the other extent, some of these guys didn't work out. Some guys got injured. You know, this stuff happens. So I do think their wing depth is fine, but it'll be finer. You like that? If Pat McCaw and Jacob Evans work out, Pat gets back to what he was and maybe even better. And Jacob Evans, the shooting in summer league was just a slump and nothing real. So there's that. We will get to more of that as training camp is just over 1 week away, 8 days away. I cannot wait. Cannot wait, especially with the Raiders looking terrible. But this isn't an NFL podcast. This is a Warriors podcast. And I'm sure there's some people out there that aren't Raiders fans. Probably most of you. I don't blame you. Coming up next, we are going to do a quick bit on the Ringer's latest article that came out about 34 questions for the upcoming NBA season. So that's coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Just went over a little roster review for the, I guess you could call them, bottom seven guaranteed contracts for the Warriors. And the Ringer recently, by the way, shout out the Ringer. They do some good work there also. God, stop shouting out all these different mediums that aren't us, man. Only Locked On does good work, you guys. The Ringer came out with a pretty funny article, funny list, I guess. The 34 people and things that will define the 2018-19 NBA season. I would urge you all to go check it out. It's pretty funny, but there's also some truth to a lot of this. And some of the things that they brought up, you know, Puma, Woj versus Shams, the end of the Nikola Jokic debate, Luka Mania, talking about Luka Doncic, Brandon Ingram. How much does Kristaps Porzingis trust his swole-ass trainer? So stuff like that. It's pretty funny. There's also some real nuggets to it. And they had a couple Warriors things in here, obviously. And one of them was Draymond Green and DeMarcus Cousins being friends. And I'm sure you all saw the funny video of Draymond Green cleaning DeMarcus Cousins' pool. I enjoyed it. It was funny to me. Just your classic odd couple pairing. Draymond just taking care of DeMarcus and his Achilles, man. You know, what a guy. Funny video, but it's just basically saying if they can create chemistry and be fine, then it'll all work out. This is some of my favorite stuff from the article. If I'm being honest, if one of my friends asked me to clean their pool without offering an incentive, I'd say no more likely than I would care to admit. So much for Cousins creating chemistry issues, everyone. The Warriors are winning it all again next year. See you next offseason. So, just saying, Warriors are fine. Chemistry issues aren't going to happen. I would suggest you watch the video just because that's pretty funny also. And then, of course, the next one, there was only two about the Warriors, was Kevin Durant. And just as he, you know, Kevin Durant's wandering eye is what they said. So, I don't know. As I've mentioned, I'm tired of it. I wish he would have signed his long-term deal. I hope he signs his long-term deal this offseason with the Warriors, and that's the end of it. But again, because he signed the 1-1, we are going to hear about it all the time. And every dribble is going to be psychoanalyzed. So it's just what we're going to have to deal with. They didn't really have any insight. It was just a topic that they brought up, which I brought up before too. I'm not very excited about the topic that is going to be talked about all year. But again, if that's the price we pay for Kevin Durant being on this team, oh well. Hope he decides to stay. If not, we'll have been an awesome 3 years. That's all there is to it. But prepare for a year-long debate, especially on a Wednesday with no news. Guess what First Take's going to talk about, you guys? Take a guess. So that's it for today. Hope you guys enjoyed it. I'll be back later this week. We will finish off the rest of the roster review. Talk about training camp coming up, man. Because once the games start, it's going to be 5 of these a week, you guys. So just get ready for that. I'm getting ready for it. Thank you guys so much for listening. Be back later this week with more of Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. Peace.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.